Chuck, 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 chuck. Hallelujah. Are we live? Hallelujah. Welcome to our Yehuda Messianic Congregation. We're in Bristol, Virginia, Tennessee. You can turn the music off. Hallelujah. And this is the day of the Lord. God has made it, and we shall rejoice in it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, hey, Shabbat Shalom, hey, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, hey. Shabbat Shalom, hey. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Yom Zeil Yisrael. Yom Zeil Yisrael. Yom Zeil Yisrael, Lord of Esimcha. Yom Zeil Yisrael, Lord of Esimcha, Ora Vesimcha, Shabbat Menucha. Yom Zeil Yisrael, Lord of Esimcha, Shabbat Menucha, Shabbat Menucha. Hey, hallelujah. Oh, this day for Israel, this day for Israel, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy, filled with light and joy, a Sabbath of Israel, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy, a Sabbath of Israel, a Sabbath of his rest.
Hallelujah. You put the piano back in the house, didn't you? All right. Hallelujah. All right, let's bless the Messiah. Who is the Messiah today?
Yeshua.
Yeshua. He is today and yesterday and forever, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We know who he is. So let's bless him today. Let's give him all that we have. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu ederek ha-Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua.
Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.
Holiness,
love the house where you dwell, in the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend a knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Hallelujah. Veshamru.
Veshamru. Venei Israel. Et ha-shabbat. La sodet ha-shabbat. Le dorotam barito lam. Veshamru. Venei Israel. Et ha-shabbat. La sod et ha shabbat le dorotam barito lam. B'nei 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 Israel, b'nei Israel, oti leolam. Veshamru b'nei Israel et ha shabbat. La sod et ha shabbat le dorotam barito lam. Ki sheshet yamim, asa Adonai, ashamayim v'haaretz. Veshamru, b'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat. La sod et ha-shabbat, ledorotam barit olam. Yovam Shavit, Shavat v'nefash, Shavat v'nefash, Shavat v'nefash. Veshamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. La sod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Hallelujah. That's a wonderful scripture about our future. Amen. That we're all going to be worshiping him in the new Jerusalem, which will be melded together with the actual Jerusalem. It's going to be a wonderful day. Hallelujah. So let's pray for that place of our home. That's our home forever.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem.
for the peace of Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this Shabbat today, Lord, and we ask your divine presence in our service today, Lord. Walk up and down the aisles today, Lord, and may we feel your presence in a fresh and new way today, Lord. We just pray for the land of Israel, Lord, for the elections that's just been ceased, Lord, that President, Vice President, his title is Netanyahu, can come into the power and form of government. Lord, we just ask that you will have your hand upon who is the person that you want to lead the Israeli government in the land of Israel, Lord. You know who that is, and just prepare the way, Lord. And we ask that you would also bless the Jewish people in Israel today, bless all the land of Israel, Lord. It's a melting pot of all types of nationalities and languages, Lord. But it's your land, and it's open to the peoples of the universe, Lord. And we just pray today that for the Jewish people, Lord, that the shackles upon their eyes and the scales will fall off, and they will see Yeshua as their Jewish Messiah, Lord, and they will fall upon their knees and repent today, Lord. We just ask that you bless all the Messianic communities today around the world. Bless the rabbis as they bring the message. Bless their dance. Bless their words of music today, Lord, in worship to you, Lord. And just bless us today, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Servant of the Lord. Okay, now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. For he's honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Hallelujah. There is still a calling on the Jewish people. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the calling is to reach out to the Gentiles and to bring Jacob back to himself. So it's a very big calling, and there's a lot of attack surrounding that calling. So sometimes that's why we face so much here opposition. But we pray for his graciousness, and we go to the scriptures for his comfort and strength and victory. Amen. Be gracious, O Lord our God, to your people, Israel, and accept their prayer. Restore the worship of Israel to your sanctuary, and lovingly and favorably receive their prayers and offerings. May the service of your people, Israel, always be acceptable to you. Let us see your return and mercy to Zion. O deserving of all praise are you, O Lord, who restores your divine presence to Zion. Let's all stand for the Shema.
Shema Israel, Adonai
Eloheinu,
Adonai Echad,
Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Leolam.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. Let them be frontless between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
And Wendell, and let's do Wendell and William. Thank you, Lord. Mi ramo raba elema donar. Mi ramo no.
Adonai Melech, Adonai Melech, Adonai Imloch Le'olam Va'ed, Adonai Os Le'amo Yitein, Adonai Yavarech Et Amo Shalom.
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, to dwell in unity. Hey, la la la, la 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 la, in unity, to dwell in unity. La la la, la 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 la, la la la, la 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 la, la la la, la 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 la. Hey, 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 hey. He named my Jehovah Manai, Shevetahim Gam Yahad. He named my Jehovah Manai, Shevetahim Gam Yahad. He named my toe, he named my toe. Hey, la la la, la 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 la. He named my toe, named my toe. Hey, la la la, la 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 la. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. In unity, to dwell in unity. La la la, la 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 la. In unity, to dwell in unity. La la la, la 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 la. La la la, la 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 la. La la la, la 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 la. Vayhi ben Soharon vayeme Moshe Kuna Adonai vivutsu oivecha Vienusu misanecha mipanecha Ki mitzion tetze Torah Ki mitzion tetze Torah
Udavar Adonai
Mirushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah
Baruch
Shenatan Torah Torah Leamo Israel Bitushato.
And when the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For instance, Zion will go forth the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people, Israel. Amen. Yahamud Asher ben Zedekiah, Barku Adonai Hamvarah.
Baruch Adonai Hamvarach Le'olam Va'ed.
Baruch Adonai Hamvarach Le'olam Va'ed. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam.
Asher bakabanu mikol ha'amin, v'natan lanu et torto, Baruch atah Adonai, noten ha'torah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blesses the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us your Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen. And you can be seated. Okay, today's drosh is from the book of Exodus. We're still in Exodus. It's called Tetzaveh, and it means you shall command. And God, this Torah portion today in this parsha, and usually we've been talking a lot about Moses, but this one today is all about Aaron. He's the centerpiece of today's Torah portion. And God says, you shall make holy garments for your brother, Aharon, and for honor and for glory. God is talking about the garments that we're going to speak a little bit about. You know, Moses wanted to be the Kohen man too, but he had to lead the Israelites, so his brother got past that mantle. But But it's interesting. The scripture doesn't really say there was conflict, but there always seems to be that little riff or that competition between brothers. You know, though we have Cain and Abel that started the scriptures out in Genesis, and then we had Esau and Jacob. Isaac and Ishmael. And then we actually had Jacob's sons who had competition or conflict with Joseph. So throughout the scriptures, we see that little bit of conflict, or maybe I shouldn't say conflict. In some cases, it was conflict. But today, God is saying, you shall command. He's speaking to Moses, and he's saying, here's what you're going to do to make the temple very beautiful with the people that's going in there. You know, clothes say a lot about a person. And if you know anything about Hebrew, clothes in Hebrew is beged, and it's unusual because that word means to be unfaithful. Your clothes, your garments are unfaithful, but it goes back again to the Garden of Eden where it all started, where Eve and Adam partook of the fruit of the tree that God said you can eat everything in there, but don't touch this. And so they disobeyed and they sinned. And what was one of the first things they did? They hid themselves, and then God created, put clothes upon them. And so that's where it means to you, you know, it means to be unfaithful. They disobeyed God, and they was unfaithful to him. So he covered them so that they could, that would cover their shame of what they did. But, you know, today, if you read this Torah portion, you'll see that the priests were unusual. They had, the priests themselves had four sets of garments, and the chief priests had eight. They had four that were made of linen and four that were gold layered for use within the temple. That's the only time they wore them, was in service to Adonai. They did not wear them around town or anywhere else. They only wore them when they were doing service unto the Heavenly Father. And this Torah portion is Exodus 27, verse 20. And he tells us also in this particular, in these chapters, that instruction on lighting the menorah, that it was never to stay unlit. It was to burn at all times, and they had to use the purest of oil. The oil that went into the menorah was a little different in how they obtained it. They didn't crush it in the vats. There you go to Israel, you see those big stone vats that they would throw the olive berries in, and they would roll that around and crush them. But the oil that went into the menorah in the temple and in the Mishkan were the ripest, and they put them in a porous bag. They hung them in. And as the berries hung in a tree, they pressed against each other, so the purest of the oil would run down into the vats, and that's what was used to light the menorah and to give it light. And that, of course, is representing Yeshua. He's the light of the world. Aaron was the first Kohen High Gadol, and his garments were kavod, which was glory. They were to the glory of God, and the clothes also spoke of the honor and glory that God wanted to be present. Unusual, the vestments were never washed. They did not wash them. And if you read the scripture today, you'll see that they made all these clothes, but they didn't make any shoes. There were no shoes constructed because, like Moses was told when he approached the burning bush, this is holy ground that you're walking on. Take your shoes off. So that was done in the tabernacle and in the temple later, that you did not wear shoes upon those grounds, because the ground was holy that was there. And so we'll talk a little bit about the garments that were made and how they relate to things of sin. The tunic was a garment that was worn from the neck down to the feet, and it was used to cover the sins of murder, one of the commandments. The linen pants were a representation that covered sexual transgressions or sins. The turban that was worn upon the head tells us that God was covering haughtiness that sometimes we have an oftentimes get. The sash that was worn over the tunic was wrapped many times around their body, and it always covered their heart. And that covered the sins of the heart and the sins that we think in our minds. The apron or the ephod was worn over the tunic and the robe, and it covered idolatry. On each shoulder of the tunic was a stone of sardonyx, which had six tribes on each shoulder carved into the stones that were on the priest's shoulders. The hosen or the breastplate, that covered arrows of judgment, and it was worn over the apron, and it had three colors of wool and was sewn together with gold thread. And upon the ephod was upon the hosen was the 12 stones representing the 12 tribes, the sons of Jacob. And those, a lot of discussion about how they were put in order. I think when I went to the Temple Institute, they told us that they, and I knew how they'd done it before, but they were placed in order of birth. So we have the first stone in the first row was Reuben. That was a ruby stone. Simeon, there was the gate. And Levi was the agate. Judah was the carbuncle. Dan was the turquoise. Naphtali was amethyst. Gad was the sapphire. Asher was the aquamarine. Issachar was the lapis. Zebulun, the diamond. And Joseph, the last born, was an onyx. I'm sorry. Joseph was onyx. Benjamin, the last born, was the opal stone. Most unusual, he was the only son that was born in the land of Israel. All the other 11 sons and the daughter were born outside the land of Cana. He was the only one. And just to think back last year, one of the congresswomen who is a Muslim, she used that he was like Benjamin. It was really a slur, but it actually became a word of honor to Israel and to the Jewish people, because if you remember when Jacob went back to meet with Esau, all the family bowed and did obedience to Esau. But Benjamin did not go because he wasn't born yet. She may have been pregnant with him. Don't know, but he did not bow. So actually when what was meant to be a slur or a slander actually was a blessing, in that you're Benjamin and you didn't bow to Esau, which was a forerunner of where we're at today. So it's interesting, but his stone was the opal. And if you know anything about stones, the opal changes colors, and it had all the other stones were in it. That sounds like something God planned, doesn't it? I believe God made that happen. So, okay, we also have, and also they were two stones given to the high priest. If they could not discern what God wanted to happen, they used these two stones. And these stones were Urim and Tumim. They were two stones, and they were used to cast lots, or like Purim, they were used to cast lots to determine the will of God. And it's interesting that these two stones, if you look at how they're written in Hebrew, the Urim begins with an Aleph, and the Tumim begins with a Tav. And that is the first and the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And if you know, that represents Yeshua, because he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. So that is representing him. He was put over their heart to determine what would happen if God didn't come forth and tell them exactly what he wanted them to do. The cloak, there was a robe of beautiful blue. It went over the head. It was worn over the tunic. And the hem had gold bells that were shaped like pomegranates, and they were ornaments of red, blue, and purple. I was doing a little reading in the Mishnah, and I went to the order of the temple service, all of the divisions that they used, that they worked in these cycles in the temple. And it was interesting that when the high Kohen would come into the temple and walk to where he would be at, they could hear him coming because of the bells ringing on the garments, so they would make way for him to make his way into the temple there. Because I thought that was interesting, and they just found a pomegranate over in the city of David that they have run MRIs and scans, and it's got a little pendulum inside of it that makes the little jingle noise as you walk. That was very interesting, that in the excavations they found that. And of course the bells would ring, and that covered sins of arrogance. You know, when God consecrated these priests, it was a 7-day event that happened, and they made a lot of sacrifices of bulls, lambs, and burnt offerings. But blood was taken, and it was placed upon Aaron's ear, on his right ear, on his right thumb, and on his big toe. Now, that sounds a little odd why you would put that blood there rather than just sprinkling with it. But God was telling him that when he hears, he would hear and obey the divine word of the Heavenly Father. His thumb represented his work, his avodah. He would perform the sacred duties given to him by from God to Moses, what he was supposed to do. And the toe, the blood on the toe, meant that he would walk in holiness to God. So that's the Torah portion this morning. Shabbat Shalom. Asher, Samoshe, Lifne, B'nai, Israel, Alpi, Adonai, B'Amoshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Ashivenu Adonai Elecha ben Hashuva Hadesh Hadesh Yamenu Hadesh Yamenu Kekedem.
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who will fast to her. And all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. You may be seated. Just have a few quick announcements and we'll continue our worship. Then I will be introducing our special guest that we have here with us today. I think it's all family in the house. Amen. So I don't see any visitors, but I do want to welcome everyone who's online who tuned in to visit. We're going to have the message on Facebook. So if you'd rather look on Facebook, and then you can interact with the other people who are watching and comment, and you know, kind of welcome other people around the world. That you can go to the Facebook page. That's For Zion's Sake Facebook page. But this is live, and once it's recorded, then you can actually go back on the website and see the whole service again. So welcome. Stay in touch. Send us an email. Let us know how you're enjoying our Yehud, a Messianic congregation right here in Bristol, Virginia. As I said, we've got a special guest. It's Yochanan Marcelino, and he's from Nashville. He's brought his friend Ray, and they're in the back. Obviously, you all have seen special music that he's brought. Many of you probably have seen it before, right? Have you seen this stuff before? Well, I'll tell you a little bit more about Yochanan, but he is the producer of like probably 80 to 90% of the Messianic music that we buy and love, and just he has made Messianic music available to the world and has really promoted it. So there is a lot to say about Yochanan. He is we're just so excited to have him with us today. Amen. And so pick up, a CD, or we've got calendars, we've got all kinds of things back there, movies. The list is endless when it comes to Yochanan. Okay. So, and I will tell you a little bit more about that later before I introduce him. Meanwhile, I do want to let you know, first of all, we're not having Oneg today. We're going to probably go out to eat, maybe to the Greek or something like that. And before we go, I just want a short little meeting with those of you who are being involved, because we have a Purim program tomorrow at 1 o'clock here. And it's going to be very informal. Program, a short Purim service, and then followed by a banquet tea party next door that Maria has put together. Amen? So please come out. We welcome visitors to come and join us in the celebration of the story of Esther and her pivotal role in the kingdom of God. She has a huge message to send to the world, and it's been being preached over the ages, and this is the time in the Jewish calendar that we celebrate Esther and what she did and her message of faithfulness and service to helping preserve the Jewish people. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's what's going on. And then next Saturday, everybody say next Saturday, next Shabbat, we have something, another very special event. And I want you to bring your friends. We didn't have really a chance to advertise Yochanan as much as we wanted to, and even what's coming up next week. So I need you really to put your effort into whether it's just going to some churches, going to your friends. I will try to get a flyer available. I don't have it today. I just, you know, whisked in. So I'm trying to get things all put together. But if I can get a flyer together, I will definitely send it out. Pick it up on the email and then send it to all your friends. Print it out. Give it to your friends. Go pick up your friends. You're not going to want to miss this. This is the Nesbitts. Everybody say the Nesbitts. We're going to show a clip here in just a second. Isaac, if you'll get that ready, you can have a little taste of what our worship's going to be like next week here during a service, okay? And so how many of you know Rabbi Joe is always faithful to bring us just the best of Messianic music? Isn't he awesome? I mean, what other congregation do you go to and you get such great world-class musicians all the time? And I don't, you know, honestly, I don't think that people, you know, take advantage and don't probably understand it's a blessing, how much of a blessing it is for these people to come to our little tiny town. So let's bring our friends and be touched, because this is our ministry, our message about Israel. And those of you out there, if you have a calling to Israel, these events that we have, they are part of an opportunity for you to be connected to Israel, to serve Israel, to do something for Israel. And so this is the Nesbitts. So it's going to be next Shabbat during our service. They'll be doing the worship. And they're just an awesome musical team from Nashville that is, and Yochanan is their producer. Don't know the exact title. Is the producer of the Nesbitts, and we probably have some music back there of theirs that you can go ahead and get some. The last thing I want to mention before we run the clip is that Rabbi Joe just finished the newsletter, and I want to thank everyone who came and helped out. Vicky, it was kind of a challenge and a battle to get it out, because I think the post office shut down for like 2 days. The computers went down. So anyway, she finally got it in and mailed out. But the title on this newsletter is How to Activate Faith. And let me tell you, this is an awesome little devotion on faith. And Rabbi had a vision. It was, remember his vision that he brought to us several weeks ago, that he saw himself, he felt it, it was so real. He saw himself actually walking on the water. And it just felt so real. And he's like, wow, I'm just walking on the water here. So that's kind of where this is about faith. Pick this up and share it with your friends and those of you who are online. If you get it in the email, first of all, if you don't get an email, let me know, because I want to put you on the email. When you get the email, forward it to your friends so they can read it and sign up. Last thing I want to mention is actually Rabbi Joe. He sends his love, and he's in Florida. He is resting, and he's also, the Lord is, he's asked for our prayers for him because he has it on his heart to write a book. And I know many of you know that, but it has just been a battle for him to get to that place where he can just focus on it and let it flow. And he's had one or two sessions where he's felt like it was just like God was doing it. But we need to pray for him that this time that he's down there is not only for rest, but it's also for, you know, just having that time, you know, to let the Lord do what he needs to do in his writing. He's going to go see the doctor. I'll be going to traveling with back down there to be with him on Wednesday. We have an appointment with the doctor at the Mayo Clinic. I believe it's the 11th, which is Wednesday. I don't know. Wednesday, 11th is Wednesday, so that's when the appointment is. So please keep him in your prayers, and I will. I'm sure he'll let you know how that goes and what the report is. That's all I have. So let's look at this clip, and then after that, we will be bringing our tithes and offerings. All right, I'm gonna turn the lights off.
Arms.
Amen. Amen. All right, so let's come worship with the Nesbitt family next week, okay? You turn the lights on. Anthony, would you pray for our offering? And then.
All right, Heavenly Father, thank you again for the Shabbat day. And we ask that you bless us. Bless the gifts that are being brought, Lord. We ask that you bless not only the gifts and increase them, but bless the people who brought those gifts today, Lord. Good measure, pressed down.
Yeah, no. Hallelujah. Everybody, put your hands together. Let's worship Him. Hallelujah. Open, open up the gates of righteousness. Let Him in to worship Hashem. Open up the gates of righteousness. Let me in to begin again. Avuvon Sharet Zedek. Avuvon Odeya. Avuvon Odeya. Avuvon Odeya. To Pituli Sharet Zedek. Pituli sharet zedek, avuvon odeya. Pituli sharet zedek, avuvon odeya. Hallelujah. He who scattered Israel will gather him again and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. He who scattered Israel will gather him again and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, redeemed him from the strong. And they shall come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. Come on, everybody. Hallelujah. He who scattered Israel will gather him again and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. He who scattered Israel will gather him again and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, redeemed him from the strong. And they shall come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. Bounty of the Lord, new grain, new wine and oil, young flocks and herds. Life shall be a watered garden, never, never languish again. Hallelujah. He who scattered Israel will gather him again and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. He who scattered Israel will gather him again and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has some Jacob, redeemed him from the strong. And they shall come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. Rejoice and dance, virgins, young men, and the morning I'll turn to joy. My people shall be satisfied with the goodness of the Lord. La 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 la. La 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 la. Shema, hear the word of the Lord. Shema, nations of the world. Hallelujah. Israel will gather him again and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. He who scattered Israel will gather again and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, redeemed him from the strong. And they shall come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. He who scattered Israel will gather him again. He who scattered Israel will gather him again. He who scattered Israel will gather him again. Hallelujah. God's going to gather his people back to Israel. But we have to have faith that he's going to do it. Hallelujah. So, at Shavuot, Yeshua said, stay in the city. Don't leave. Sometimes we just need to stay. Stay in the city till you be clothed with power. Be there at the appointed time. I will bless you, pour out on you new life. Wait for the promise of God. Let's just wait for him. Say, Lord, I want to wait for you today. Hallelujah. Lord, we wait for you today. It doesn't look like it's coming. Oh, stay in the city till you be clothed with power. Be there at the appointed time. Oh, he will bless you. Pour out on you. Wait for the promise of God. Oh, don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. Don't stop looking for the promise of God. Don't laugh as sweet old Sarah did. For the Lord, he is on time. Oh, make your days count. Make them count so very strong. Perfect place at the perfect time. You might just get it right. You might see thunder, lightning hit the mountain. A miracle instead of mirage. Oh, don't lose heart, don't lose hope, don't stop looking for the promise of God. Don't laugh as sweet old Sarah did, for the Lord, he is on time. Oh, hallelujah. Stay in the city. Come on, sing with me. Clothed with power. Be there at the appointed time. I will bless you, pour out on you new life. Wait for the promise of God. Don't lose heart, don't lose hope, don't stop looking for the promise of God. Don't laugh as sweet old Sarah did, for the Lord, he is on time. Manna will fall from heaven, water will sprout from the stones, for he will surely care for us and love us as his very own. Our God is not like any other God. Stay in the city till you be clothed with fire. Be there at the appointed time. He will bless you, pour out on you new for the promise of God. Hallelujah. Wait for him. You know, every time I come here, I think when I'm away from the presence of God, I think the devil's always telling me, you're not making a difference. There's nothing going on in that little synagogue. And then when I come up here and I sit down and I start to worship, man, he's here. Amen. Because Yeshua is the God of coming through at the last minute. He's always doing something that we don't see. Yeshua said, truly I say to you, there's no one who's left houses or brothers or sisters or mothers or children or farms for his sake and for the gospel's sake, that we shall not receive 100-fold in this life and the age to come. He said, many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Oh, truly I say to you, there is no one who's left houses or brothers or sisters, mothers or children or farms, for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but he shall receive 100 times now in the present age. Come on. Oh, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first, they shall be last, and many who are last shall be first. Oh, many who are first, they shall be last, and many who are last shall be first. Truly I say to you, there is no one who's left houses or brothers or sisters or mothers or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but he shall receive 100 times now in the present age. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first, they shall be last, and many who are last shall be first. Oh, many who are first, they shall be last, and many who are last shall be first. Sing with me. La 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 la. La 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la. Oh, many were first, they shall be last, and many were last shall be first. Sing it. Many were first, I don't hear you, they shall be last, and many were last shall be first. Again. Oh, many were first, they shall be last, and many were last shall be first. Hallelujah. Yeshua, Mashiach Adonai. Yeshua, Mashiach Adonai. My heart has turned toward you. My path leads me to your land. My future is in Zion. Eternity is in my heart. La 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 la. la 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 la. Yeshua HaMashiach Adonai. Yeshua HaMashiach Adonai. My steps now follow eastward. My longing brings me through your gates. Zion has made a home in me. I have found a dwelling place made with eternal stones. La 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 la. Yeshua HaMashiach Adonai. My heart has turned toward you. My path leads me to your land. My future is in Zion. Eternity is it's in my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Our future is in you, O is Adonai. is Adonai. Yes, the sweet, sweet, sweet presence of Adonai. His sweet, sweet, sweet presence is here. Oh, the sweet, sweet, sweet presence of Adonai. His sweet, sweet, sweet presence is here. Yes, it's apples of glory and honey of redemption. Apples of glory is the Lord. Oh, apples of glory and honey of redemption. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Oh, the sweet, sweet, sweet presence of Adonai. Yes, his sweet, sweet, sweet presence is here. Oh, the sweet, sweet, sweet presence of Adonai. His sweet, sweet, sweet presence is here.
Table of the Lord. It's more than just a table. I think it's more of a banquet. So let's view it this morning. If we have anything, we're supposed to come without anything that would be unpleasing to the Lord. So take this time to do that. And if you're live streaming today and you don't know who Jesus is or Yeshua, at some point in your life, you will have to deal with him. Some point. You either have to accept or you have to reject. And I pray today that you will accept him. Let us know of your decision to receive him as your personal Savior, and we will send you a gift and rejoice with you. So this morning, let's see, Maria, were you and Deborah service this morning? We appreciate that. And it's great to have Reb and Sandon here. It's always great that she's here. So I'll bless the emblems. You know, the bread is for the forgiveness, and the drink is for the release. And so Yeshua, he took the bread and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body broken for you." Shall we pray? Brukatadonai Elohein, Yumelech Haolam, Hamotzi Lekim Min Haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And Yeshua is the bread of life. He took the cup and he said, "This is the cup which is blood and represents the new covenant from blood shed for the sin, remission of sins." And he blessed it. Brukatai Adonai Elohein, Yumelech Haolam, Rei Pori Hagafin. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. And Yeshua is the true vine. So you can come as you're ready this morning.
I have loved you with an everlasting love. Have I loved you? Yes, I have loved you. Have I loved you with an everlasting love? Have I loved you? Yes, I have loved you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Have I loved you? Yes, I have loved you. Have I loved you with an everlasting love? Have I loved you? Yes, I have loved you. From generation to generation has my love flowed to your children. From generation to generation does my favor rest on you. Oh, have I loved you with an everlasting love? Have I loved you? Yes, I have loved you. Have I loved you with an everlasting love? Have I loved you? Yes, I have loved you. Oh, from generation to generation has my spirit hovered o'er this land. From generation to generation have I put my name in Jerusalem. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Have I loved you? Yes, I have loved you. Have I loved you with an everlasting love? Have I loved you? Yes, I have loved you. If the moon and stars, they cease to shine evermore, if the heavens fail and fall to the ground, only then will my love fail for you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have loved you. Yes, I have loved you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, His presence is here. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm so encouraged when I come into His presence because He just makes me come alive. Do you feel that? Yeah. You know, whatever we go through during the week, we really need to make an effort to make it into the house of the Lord. Because there's no way, I don't care how you do it, how you worship. You may have the best solo worship in your living room of anybody in the world. But it's nothing like coming into the house of the Lord and being with His people. The Word says, worship with His people. Come into the house to have a holy convocation, worship with His people. So not only does that mean to come into the house of the Lord and worship, it also says maybe we should have a priority to worship with His people, not just believers, but, you know, the people of Israel. So I think that, you know, there is a double meaning there. We do need to worship with believers, but also there, God says to the first to the Jew and also to the Gentile. So that's what we are here, is an embassy. We're like a little place in the middle of nowhere where you can go to Israel. Right here. Amen? You don't have to go to Israel. You can come right here. And so many people don't take that opportunity, but a lot of people do. Those of you who are here have taken the opportunity to move to Israel, and you don't even have to get on a jet plane. You just drive in your car down to the little oasis in the desert. Praise the Lord. That's my Isaac is going to be getting the Facebook ready. We usually have Rabbi's phone, so I kind of forgot about that. So it's going to be my phone. I am so honored and blessed to introduce to you our special guest, Marcelino. He's brought his friend Ray all the way from Nashville, Tennessee. As you know, Rabbi was in Nashville a couple weeks ago, not too long, and he prayed for the Tennessee State Senate to begin their session. How many of you saw that on the where we recorded it? Wasn't it special? And we thought maybe we'd get over to see Yochanan, but it didn't work out. But we still have it in our hearts to come and visit you. And they have, we've fellowshiped together many years. We go to the conferences, we see Yochanan there and his family. And there are family ministries, not just him, his wife, Hannah, and their daughter and four sons, handsome, just talented, and Michaela, she survived open heart surgery several years back, and she's just a sweetheart. They're just an anointed family and blessing. We've fellowshipped with them year after year at the conferences. They have a booth there, and they're just like family. And sometimes when we had the bagel shop, I know Yochanan stopped several times, and we had some great times eating a bagel on their way back to Nashville, right? So maybe a lot of you don't know anything about Yochanan, but as I mentioned before, a lot of our music comes right from this man and his work for the Lord, and he has really done an amazing thing for the Messianic community, which is to really put our music into a presentable way, a really professional, just awesome thing that he's done for our community. And I just can't thank you personally enough, because the music, the creativity that comes from your ministry is just immense. And Rabbi and I just appreciate it immensely. I have 3 pages of all the things here he sent me that Yochanan has done over his lifetime, and I can't possibly, he's going to share, I guess, his testimony, but he is the founder and president and CEO of City of Peace Media, CEO of City of Peace Media and City of Peace Films, and Galilee of the nations music. Okay? So all of that. He's a film producer. Yes. And it all started back in 1896, and I think I'm not going to read all this, but has to start with his great-grandfather, Yohanan's great-grandfather, Marcelino, and his brother when they immigrated to America. And so I'm just excited. Maybe he'll tell us about, and he lists all these things that his uncles and cousins, they were into music, recordings, the recording industry, pop and R&B and Motown and actors and whistlers, all kinds of things, directors. He has just got a pedigree that does not stop. I'm going to go to the end here. Over his lifetime career, Yohanan and his family, they are a family ministry. They've got a beautiful home, which I'm going to go see their farm and their home sometime. I really want to. They have produced music and films and books and have touched and changed millions of lives as an executive manager, writer, music, and film producer, and literary agent, and has brought glory to the kingdom of God, millions around the world. So with that, I introduce to you Yohanan ben Marcelino. And let's all say his name together, Yohanan. It's not Yochanan, okay? Yohanan. Yohanan. There you go.
The green light is on. There we go. There we go. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful oasis. As Don shared, this special place, Lord, where you have your remnant worshiping you, following you, longing for you, longing for your return. And it's an honor and a blessing to be here. Thank you for Rabbi Joe. I'm honored to be able to be here. And while he's away on sabbatical and all the things that he's doing right now, Lord. And thank you for Dawn. She can fly around this country and still be here. It's unbelievable. And I thank you, Lord, for the way this little congregation has poured themselves out for you, Lord. And we just ask you to bless your word today, Lord. Bless your word in the name of Yeshua. Amen. I asked Joe, is there anything in particular that you would like me to share? And he says, just share whatever on your heart. Maybe give a little bit of your testimony. And I just want to say, I want my testimony to be that he must increase and I must decrease. That's what I want. That's what I'm going after. I just want him to increase, and I want to decrease. And, you know, we're in a very special time right now. You all know Purim, the Feast of Lots. And Monday night is Erev Purim. And what is that? Well, you know the story of Queen Esther. You know that she was called by God to what we would call Persia and to be the queen. But she was just this kind of no-name Jewish girl that God raised up. And he raised her up for such a time as this. And that's what the celebration is. It's an interesting book in that the name God, the name Elohim, Adonai, doesn't appear in this book. Yet, from beginning to end, you sense the sovereignty of God weaving through every detail of it. I would even go as far as to say this, that I feel more of God in a book like Esther than maybe different books that would talk about God, because it's real. It's real world. And what she went through was unbelievable. What a test in her life. So I wanted to share a little bit about that. But before I do, I'll go ahead and share a little bit about my background. I was born into an Italian Jewish family. My mom didn't talk a whole lot about it. So I grew up in this Italian kind of Jewish upbringing. And I grew up in the entertainment industry in Los Angeles. So I was in and around stars from the time I was a young boy. And it became kind of normal, you know, like these are real people. Yeah, they're stars, but we're all the same. And I kind of grew up in this. My dad was a songwriter, a record producer. I followed in his footsteps in many ways, some great ways and some not so great, you know. But the Lord got a hold of my life and changed the course and the direction of my life. And I give him all the honor and glory for that. But in 1972, my dad came home one day and he said, "Son, we have the number one record in the world today." I said, "Dad, what does that mean?" He said, "Every nation in the world on the Billboard and Cashbox Top 100, we have the number one record in the world." And my dad was Michael Jackson's producer at the time, the Jackson 5, Motown. I grew up with an R&B, rhythm and blues bass in my life, and went on to rock and roll from there and combinations and eventually to messianic music. But basically, I remember thinking, number one in the world. Is this what it feels like to be number one in the world, you know? And it was just kind of like me and him, you know, we were just talking about it. And I remember thinking, I can do this, you know? I like this feeling, you know? I like knowing that I'm connected to the number one record in the world. And so it kind of got into me early to get into the industry. When I was 18 years old, I dove right in. I dove right into the LA Hollywood record scene and never really turned back. But the Lord got a hold of my life and made a sweeping transition in my life where I began to see him in everything that I was doing. And eventually, I'm going to fast forward ahead. Eventually, I got to this place in my life where I realized that, you know, I've got to follow the call that God is giving me and my family. And so we sold everything that we had. We sold everything we had, and we went to the land of Israel. And this incredible journey began that was by faith. It changed the course of our lives. And we've never been the same, any of us in my family, since then. And I lived in Israel for several years. I frequent there a lot. I've got a family that lives there in the land. I've got grandchildren that are native-born Israelis in the land, and I'm involved in multiple projects as well as different several different sons that I have are involved in different projects that connect. Everything is really uplifting the nation of Israel, and ultimately we pray for the return of the Mashiach. And so that being said, I got to thinking about you know, we could talk about projects and things, you know, you know Marty Goetz and Paul Wilbur and Ted Pierce and Karen Davis. Matter of fact, yesterday it released worldwide. It's called Songs of Eternity by Karen Davis, right on top of Mount Carmel in Israel, in that high place where Elijah called down fire from heaven. David Davis, my dear friend, Karen's husband, passed away a couple years ago, and they had done a tremendous pioneering work for 30 years on top of Mount Carmel. And Karen is running. She's running in that call as the bridegroom, as the bride to the bridegroom, and she is running hard for the Lord. And this album is so anointed, and I'm honored to be associated with it. And it came out, like I said, worldwide yesterday, and I brought them here for you guys, the first place I've come to with them. And of course they're also there digitally as well, all over the world. A couple things that I may refer to: this Adonai, the power of worship from the land of Israel, is where this company Galilee of the Nations began, in the Galilee region of Israel in 1998. And what happened was, actually it started in 1997, but in 1998 we were in the year of Jubilee, the first Jubilee in 2,000 years in the land of Israel, and I lived there. And this album was birthed out of, I wasn't even doing music in the land. I was doing other things in business and so on and so forth. And nobody knew that I had a background in music. But something happened, and a man came to me one day, and he just said, you know, I want to give you this gift because I want you to know that there's something that the Lord wants to do. And I had to really work through that whole thing in my life. But what it resulted in was the starting of Galilee of the Nations music, Galil Ha'amot Musika Ba'am in Hebrew. And what it is that the Lord put on my heart to gather from all four corners of the land of Israel, gather his people that truly know him, and bring their music forward in the year of Jubilee, so that there would be a testimony and a witness to the world in the year of Jubilee. And so I did that. I began to pull that together, and the Lord opened these incredible doors. This came out through Integrity Music, who was my partner at the time. Worldwide, it came out to 162 countries on the date, May 14th, 1998. And he did it all. And it was all put together. I worked a long time to put it all together. And so Adonai is still today reaching people all over the world as if it was just released today. I mean, it's all over the world. It just keeps going. It doesn't stop because it's a timeless album, because the music is connected to the prophetic word of God. And that goes with, I mean, everything I've done, Elohim, same thing. The believers in the land, Son of David. For Zion's sake, one new man worship. You know, all of these, which Ray in the back will tell you, show you what he's got, but you know, you may have seen this. Israel Rising came out for the 70th anniversary of Israel. It came out with a calendar, which I've given you free. It's a keepsake for the 70th anniversary, documenting every day of the 70th year. But also the music, all connected to this. This was an Amazon bestseller in six categories. And it documents the prophet Ezekiel, his words in photographic evidence that the land has been restored. The land is, there's before and after photographs that are showing the land, what it looked like 100 years ago, what it looks like today from the same angle these photographs were taken. And it's staggering. You see, Ezekiel said, through the Lord spoke through him and said, don't speak to nations, don't speak to kings, don't speak to peoples. Speak to the land itself and tell it to bring forth its branches, bring forth its fruits, bring forth its produce, bring forth everything that it's got, because my people are coming home soon. Check it out, Ezekiel 36. And what we've done is we've proven it through photographic evidence that that happened. If you could see this from here, this is 100 years ago. Jerusalem was desolate. There wasn't anything there. It's just dirt. Okay? Here it is today. You know? It's incredible to see what God has done. Here's Tel Aviv 100 years ago. Camels are walking on the shorelines. There's no one there. Here it is today. You know, I got excited about the project because it proves that God, what his word is real, and it's happening right now, and it's continuing to happen right before the world's eyes. Doesn't matter what plan anybody's on, he's on his plan, and it's all happening. We did a film called The Identical. Ray Liotta, Ashley Judd, Seth Green, And what this film was about was, I don't know how many of you knew that Elvis was Jewish on his mother's side. A lot of people didn't know this. But Elvis was Jewish, and we wanted to do a movie that showed that side of his family and so on and so forth. We were turned down by Elvis Presley Enterprises, so we did our own called The Identical. And it's sort of an alternate universe. And God is weaving in and out of this film, which was released wide across America and internationally to over 1,950 theaters. But if he, God, is in your dreams, nothing can stand against them. This was the theme of what was happening. And it was the showing Elvis struggled with depression, because some of you may not know this either. He was an identical twin boy. And his identical twin, Jesse Aaron Presley, died at birth. And Elvis struggled his whole life with why him and not me, you know? Anyways, we pulled that all together, gave God the glory in it. Ray Liotta, who you've seen as a mafiosa and what have you in many films, or Ashley Judd and some crazy stuff that surrounds her life. But these people all listened. They all listened to the word. They all listened to the vision. Ray's life was changed. He read the Bible for the first time in his life. You know, and this is stuff that the world doesn't talk about. They tried to shut me down, you know, on this film, the critics, because it was outrageous in their opinion of how I brought Israel into it and all these things. But I don't want to give it away. If you haven't seen it, you need to grab it. Like I said, I could go on and on. This one here, One New Man Worship, there's a double CD. David Davis is in here. And he's speaking on the olive tree and a message you've never, you'd be blown away from the very beginning on, plus the music. I could go on, and I really didn't want to do this. The Nesbitts, by the way, will come next week with their album. We just finished this album, just released, and it's coming out. I mean, they'll bring it here next week, but it's a beautiful family with a burning heart for Israel, and you'll hear it in their music. It's amazing. They come from Ireland, their family line, Ireland and Scotland, to the hills of North Carolina, and 200 years ago into Tennessee. And let me tell you something, if you want to understand the roots of Messianic music, they connect to those roots from hundreds of years ago, and all you got to do is study the word, and you'll find out Solomon sent delegations to these places, and Ireland, Scotland, Spain, all these things. He was running the earth. Well, that music permeated, and many years later, we've got something special coming out of the hills of Tennessee with a heart for Israel. Okay, Don, is that okay? I promised Joe I'd do a little bit, you know, that way. But really, what I wanted to share today, I wanted to begin by saying that this is Shabbat Adar 11, 5780 on the Hebrew calendar, March 7th, 2020. I said this coming Monday is Erev Purim. And then Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Shushan Purim. But the fast, Esther's fast, moves through those days. And what was the fast? What was it? The Jewish people were going to be slaughtered. They had, you know the story, you know about Haman. You know that that's right. You're going to get into that. You're going to eat some homentasha next week, you know? But you know who he is, and you know the players, Mordecai, and you know King Ahasuerus, and you know King Vashti, and she disrespects the king, and he says, "Forget it. Let me have a new wife." You know, this is a rebel here, and they put the word out, and all of a sudden, you know, Esther rises up, and she was there for such a time as this. The interesting thing about it is that God had her at the right place at the right time for the right situation, and he was directing her path and in a very special way. And so it's very special to me personally is that on this album in 1998, on a song that I wrote called The Year of Jubilee, Shnat HaYovel, it opens up with a narration of Esther 4:14, and I'm speaking the word. And it affected me then, it affects me today, and it will affect us forever, right? Because it says this, "For if you remain completely silent," this is Mordecai speaking to Esther when he finds out that the Jewish people are going to be wiped out, "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will come for the Jewish people from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" He's actually empowering her to say, you're in this position. You could do something about this. But of course, if you read this account, you know that she can't just come into the presence of the king. It means death automatically. So she recognizes that she is in this place in her destiny. And she tells Mordecai to spread the word for everybody to fast. Everybody to fast. No water, no food for the following 3 days. She said she would join them with her team of women that serve her. And of course, behind the scenes, you've got Haman scheming and putting it together to wipe them out. Why? Because he couldn't stand the fact that Mordecai would not bow down to him and pay him homage. He wouldn't do it. He stood and looked at him every time he walked by. And he was so angry about that that he said, I want them all dead. And he created this situation, as you know, to kill the entire Jewish nation. And he built gallows to hang everybody on and kill everybody. But at the very same time, dreams are happening with the king. And we know that the king is troubled in these dreams. And he's preparing, God's preparing the king to do something. And he recognizes, King Ahasuerus, that there was somebody that saved his life as the scrolls were being read to him to soothe his mind one night. And he finds out the guy who saved his life was Mordecai. And the interesting thing about this is he didn't even know it. He didn't know who saved his life. He was just told that, you know, your life has been spared. He said, what's been done for this guy that saved my life? What's been done for him? They said nothing. He said, what would you, he pulled Haman in and said, what would you suggest for someone I want to honor, me? I, the king, want to honor somebody who's done unbelievable things for me. And of course, he thinks he's talking about him. He says, I'd give him your ring, your signet ring. I'd put a purple robe on you. I'd have him ride your horse and parade around. And all the things that he wanted. He says, great, then you lead this guy. His name is Mordecai. And he freaked out. He freaks out because this is the guy he's trying to kill. And this king is honoring him. Something's getting ready to backfire. And of course, we know the story. You know, the queen, after 3 days, she requests and is ready to die if the king says, kill her for approaching me without my permission, without me asking. And he sees her, he has compassion, he says, come and talk to me, my queen. And she, instead of telling him the story, she asks to throw him a banquet. It's staggering. He says, sure, you can throw me a banquet. That's it? That's what you want? I want a banquet. I want to throw you a banquet. Okay, great. She used tremendous wisdom and insight. She wasn't about to drop this thing in that manner. So she does this, and they start to have this party, and then he says, anything else you need? She goes, yeah, I want to throw you another party tomorrow. Okay. And then at that gathering, with Haman there, she says, I want to talk to you about something. She said, I'm going to die. I'm going to be killed. All of my people are going to be killed. The word has gone out to every province in Shushan. The Jews must die. And she says, that's my heritage. And he said, who did this? She said, he did. And she points to Haman. And he completely falls apart because he's exposed. His evil plot is exposed by God to the king. And she did it with such great wisdom and insight. And what happens? He said, the gallows that he built out there for the Jewish people, take him, his family, and everybody he knows and hang them. Why am I sharing this today? Well, number one, I'm sharing it because we've got Purim coming up. But I want you to understand that your destiny is connected to the Word of God and the examples that He gives us in His Word. Your destiny here today is connected to the Word of God as an example to follow. Understand this. God did the opposite of what the enemy wanted to do. The opposite. The enemy wants to wipe out the Jewish people. He wipes out the enemy. The people that want to get rid of them, he gets rid of them. You're all here today, those viewing and those that are here with me today, you all understand that there's been trials and times in life where we're up against it. We don't necessarily have anywhere to turn. Like Moses, he got up against that water and there was nowhere else to go. The enemy is coming until God puts up a firewall and opens up the Red Sea. Right? It's the same with Esther. Can you imagine what she was going through? She took a chance. She put it all on the line. But she gave God honor and glory, and he turned the whole thing. He will turn whatever it is you're going through in your life. He's going to turn it. It's going to be used for his glory. No matter what it is, he's going to turn things. That's what's happening right now. He's turning many things in the lives of his people everywhere. I'm hearing it right and left. I just spent a lot of time with my son who was here in town, and he's telling me what's going on right now in the land. It's turning. It's shifting. Everything is moving down the road God wants it to move down. So it's interesting that in the album Adonai, that's what was on my heart 20 years ago, 22 years ago. It was on my heart to speak that out on this record because I was impacted by the story in the word, but I was impacted by what was about to happen, that we were going to experience the first Jubilee in 2,000 years. It was a powerful moment in time. Israel became a nation 50 years earlier. I've shared a little bit about the destiny that Esther walked in for such a time as this. I shared a little bit about my personal experience with you. But really what this is about today is it's about your destiny. It's about God unveiling to each one of you here today, beginning to unveil your destiny in a clear and concise way that maybe you've never seen before. And I'm going to give you some tools to look at this. Carol, we're going to go ahead and begin on slide one, okay? Excuse me if I look once in a while here. What is your destiny? Where did you come from? Where are you going? And what will it look like when you get there? Have we thought about these things? The definition of destiny, something to which a person or thing is or wants to control his own destiny, a predetermined course of events often held to be an irresistible power, a state of condition, appointed or predetermined, ultimate fate, invincible necessity, fate, the necessity or fixed order of things. Who can turn the stream of destiny? Destinies, fates, supposed powers that are connected. This is what, like, Webster's and others are talking about. I'm here to say to you that the world can talk about this all they want, but they can't get it right unless they look at the Word of God. They can't get it right. They can't get it right. Where did we come from? Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thoughts from afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. Don, as we were reciting today, you talked about Israel, God creating Israel in the womb. Here we are. You covered me in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I mean, we could get into this alone. Abortions and all this stuff, are they kidding? God has the final say, not man. You formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Unformed? Unformed. And in your book they were written, all the days that you fashioned for me. When as of yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. There is a perfect hatred. There's a time to be born, a time to die. There is a time to hate. A perfect hatred. It hates what God hates, right? I count them as my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And see if there be any wicked way in me. The blood, the ear, the thumb, the toe. That's the whole cry that we talked about a little bit earlier with the priest. I mean, see if there's anything. Here, is there anything? Wrapping yourself up, is there anything that's wicked? What I'm trying to say is that you've been born for a purpose. You got to believe this is what God's word says. It doesn't matter whether you're here and you're a child, or you're here and you're 100 years old. It doesn't matter. Moses didn't get rock until he was 80, right? Yes. Called him out at 40, left him out, And at 80, he rises on the scene. Right? All I can tell you, that age doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you are. You might go, well, maybe, you know, maybe I'm maybe God's passed me by. Not a chance. He uses us every day of our life to his purposes and his glory, and until we go to be in glory. Where are we going? We are on a journey. This is a journey. In order to understand our destiny and what we are destined for, we must go back to the beginning. This is very important. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the deep, the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering on the face of the waters. Move down a couple lines. So the evening and the morning of the first day. The evening, the morning, the second day. Evening, morning. We're on the Hebrew calendar. We're on God's calendar. It's not a Gregorian calendar. We're living in a Gregorian calendar world, just like we're living in the world, but we don't need to be of the world. Right? We're in the world, not of it. That calendar is in the world, but we're not of it. We're in God's calendar. And it's got to start with understanding. Our destiny starts with understanding, where are we at? What we've been created by him for good works. We've been created as light in the darkness. We've been created, he knew every day that was ordained for us. He's put everything into motion, and he's given us a season in this life to shine for him. Hallelujah. To shine. Okay? And so we start to look at this, and then, of course, he created in 6 days and rested on the seventh. That's our destiny. That's part of who we are. Right?
Yes.
It's because it's in his word, and it's in his calendar. God's operating on the sun, the moon, the stars. He's operating in the seasons. He's moving the feasts from beginning to end and back around again and again and again and again, right? The world has no clue unless they're awakened. And we have to be that witness to them, right? Like Don was saying here, sometimes you feel insignificant in this life, and then you start worshiping, and then stuff starts happening, and you start seeing it. No, it's not a numbers thing. It never was a numbers thing. There is a remnant. Amen. You're part of the remnant. If you know and trust him, you're part of his remnant. It never was supposed to be. You remember, the Bible tells us that 7,000 did not bow their knee to Baal. But Elijah said what? I'm the only one left. Remember that? He got rebuked by God in the cave. I'm the last guy standing. No, you're not. There's 7,000 that haven't bowed. It was a shocking statement to Elijah. Because He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. He doesn't know. He just thought he's the last man standing. Not true. You are here for a purpose. You are here to do the bidding of Adonai Elohim in his precious son's name. It starts with understanding where we are. And of course, we see that the eternal word in the beginning, and the word was with God and the word was God. The beginning was the word. It's all moving. He spoke this world into existence. It's his word that goes forth. And that word became flesh and dwelt among us. The next slide, Carol. We're going to jump real quick to the garden. Adam and Eve, temptation and sin and the fall of man, it all happened right there in that garden. So what's going to happen? God says, they've sinned against me. There's been a fall. I need to deliver them. I need to deliver them, and I need to start unfolding my plan of redemption. Sin came in, and then God said, I've got to redeem this situation. Let's move on to Noah and the ark, the cleansing flood. God prepares a people for himself. Abraham, Isaac, Israel, Joseph. I want you to hear me on this. Chapter 12 of Genesis. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you, and in all the families of the earth you shall be blessed. I'm here to tell you today, whatever it is that's holding you back, get out of your country. Get out. Whatever that means to you, I can tell you what it meant to him. Literally, it meant, get out of your country. I'm going to take you on a journey. I'm going to take you on a journey, and you're going to see something. There's going to be blessings, but I'm going to show you something that you've never seen before. Get out. Get out now. He could have said, no, I'm comfortable here. My whole family line is here. Everybody's here. You know, I'm not going. He got out of Dodge, didn't he? He got out of Dodge in a hurry. And God said, I will bless those who bless you on this journey. I will curse those who curse you. And in all the families of the earth, you shall be blessed. There was a covenant. And those things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, don't be afraid. So now he's on this journey. Why are we going down this road? Because I'm trying to show you that this is a model. Watching God unfold his plan of redemption is a model to each one of us individually. It's a model to say, this is a journey. I created you in your mother's womb. I raised you up. I called you out. Now, go to a country, and I'll let you know what that's going to be. Guess what that country is? The celestial city. The new Jerusalem. The place where we're all going to be with the Lord, right? Forever. But getting there is a journey. And as we go down this road, and we see God shows up in Abram's life, and he says, look toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, you shall and your descendants be, and he believed it. He believed it. So belief and going forward, even if it's darkness, even if it's something you can't see, you go forward by faith. On the journey, to become a great nation, Abram, Sarai, become Abraham and Sarah. Sometimes your name has to be changed. Sometimes God wants a clean slate and the whole thing to change. Part of why he wants us to get out of our country, whatever that comfort zone is because that bogs you down. It stops you from doing the will of God. You know, he wants you to move forward, leave whatever that country is, whatever that thing that's holding you back is, leave it and go forward and move down the road on the journey. Amazing things happen on the journey. Names possibly are changed. Locations are changed. Jobs are changed. Life has changed. You're going down this road. Slide 7. Then, while you're on that road, you run into a guy named Melchizedek on that road. Remember, Abram's just going down the road. He's trying to find out where the Lord wants him to go, but he's going down the road. He's moving in the right direction. He runs into this guy, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and it says he was the priest of the Most High God. In Hebrew, Malki, my king, right? Melchizedek, my king of righteousness, from Salem, Jerusalem. Now, there are many that would debate. I'm not sure what Rabbi's position on that is, but there would be debates. Was he a reincarnate Messiah? Was he? Or was he some special individual that God brought onto the scene for that moment in time? It doesn't really matter. I know what the name means. My King of Righteousness from Jerusalem. Okay? And they're breaking bread. And they're drinking wine. And he's refreshing him and encouraging Abram as he's going down the road on the journey. He will bring refreshment to you on this road, on the journey that you're all on to get to the celestial city. On that journey, he will bring provision along the way. He does it. He'll bring miracles along the way. He's done it time and time again. Elijah, look at him. He was, you know, the ravens were feeding him. I mean, you know, miracles were happening with the oil and the bread and the multiplication of the woman. Remember? All these things happen on the road, on the journey that we're on. That's why it's written here. He's saying, hold it. These were human beings just like you. They're in all kind of ages just like you. Hello, Sarah, 100 years old? Did not believe the promise that she could have a child and laughed about it. Man, stuff happens when you're on that road, when you're going down that road and you're on the journey and you've been called out, as each one of you have, called out on that journey, stuff starts happening. Bread, wine, my King of Righteousness shows up. I mean, you know, babies are born from 100-year-old women. And Moses, you know, at 80, is rocking the Pharaoh and rocking Egypt. Stuff starts happening. These were human beings, just like us. But they believed him. They believed him. If you believe him, he's going to do it in your life. He's going to do it. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. All of a sudden, you know, then Isaac becomes the son of the promise. So they have this son, Isaac. And then we know that Abram is tested. I'm here to tell you guys something. I was having this discussion with my son this past week. There are no problems. I want you to hear me on this. There aren't problems in this world. There are only tests. If you know the Lord.
Amen.
There's not problems. There's only tests. It's a test. It's all a test. Are we going to walk with Him into eternity knowing that we're serving the King of glory? Or are we going to go, oh gosh, I got another problem on my hands? All of a sudden, we move from Isaac and the promise, and Abraham is going to sacrifice him, and he stops him, and he says, your faith has saved you. Your faith. He was willing to sacrifice his only son. Then Jacob, right? At Peniel, he sees God face to face. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We see God make a name change on him on that road to Israel. Right? He makes that change of a name that we look to today and stand in amazement as that little country, no bigger than the size of New Jersey, is there because God put it there. He put His name upon Jerusalem. He wrote it there. He's restored the land. And it says, when the people come back to the land, what's going to happen? He's going to sprinkle clean water on them. Clean water. It's a picture of a massive redemption. Romans 11 says the greatest revival that will ever hit this entire planet is when the Jewish people come to know their Mashiach.
Amen.
They said it will be like life from the dead to the nations. In other words, if there's a dead man, and by the way, dead and stinking man, dead. Yes, like Lazarus. The nations are going to see it rise up, and they're going to go, life from the dead. It's going to be massive. And it's stirring. The undercurrents are stirring right now in the land of Israel. I talk to people in the nations all the time. It's all stirring. Okay?
Yeah.
We've got to see with spiritual eyes. We've got to see through it to see what He is saying exactly. We go from Jacob, who has the struggle. God says, you'll no longer be called Jacob. You're going to be called Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men, and you've prevailed. Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel. We talked about it earlier today. Right? The 12 tribes, the 12 brothers. And by the way, have you seen the imperfection in the people that God calls? Huh? I mean, what's up with David? You know, a man after his own heart, and he's committing adultery and killing people and doing crazy things. And you start looking at Solomon. God appears to him, what was it, 2-3 times? You know, and you know, and he struggles all the way to the end of his life. Okay? What is it? You know, he's showing us that these are fallible men and women. There's only one that's been perfect. Amen. Only one. But we're in a place where we go down this journey, and all of a sudden we run into Joseph. And Joseph shows redemption. He shows it. He shows it in a way that's so overwhelming that, remember, he starts to weep. He has to leave the room when he sees his brothers who've sold him into captivity, but they didn't know God raised him up. He raised him up as a prophetic word. He was the right-hand man. He was the top three in all of Egypt. Rose him up. They didn't even know it was their own brother, right? But man, he knew who he was. He knew who he was. And God used him. And he said in his dream, the dream that he had that his brothers hated him for, it said that the sun, the moon, and the stars were going to bow down to him. Well, you know what? They bowed down to him in Egypt. They bowed down to him. The sun representing the father, the moon, the mother, the stars, the children. There were 12 stars in the dream. But they bowed down to him. He wasn't trying to say, he was just telling them what the dream said. But the fact of the matter was, God brought him to deliver Israel. And he was used. He thought his life was over. He was thrown into a pit to die. But all of a sudden, God picked him out of that pit. They sold him into slavery. He goes down into the dungeons. And they, you know, ultimately, he's interpreting the Pharaoh's dreams. And all of a sudden, he's raised up to prominence. Have we heard that story before in the scripture? It happens time and time again. And then, of course, he brings Moses in, right? And we know that story. Let my people go. And he gave them the Ten Commandments, the Torah, the law of God, was revealed to Moses and recorded in those powerful five books. And now we have some direction further. It's in writing, right? The Jewish people, his chosen people of old, began to count time in the desert, wandering for 40 years. Do you realize that? That's when they started counting time. They're out there for 40 years. It all came together. God started showing them an order to things. Everything has its time. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. We all have a finite amount of time that God has given us while we're awakened. Think about the time that you weren't awakened in your life. But he's given you, and he will multiply the time. He will restore the locust-eaten years of life and multiply it because you've been awakened. He's given you the time to do his work, his handiwork from heaven. How are we doing on time? Keep going? Would you like me to keep going?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We talk about the Hebrew calendar. Do you know that as you read the parsha today, Anthony, you know, you read and led, but do you know that there was a parashah, day that you were born. And some of you may know what that parasha is, the day of your birth, the day of your bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, the day of your rebirth, the day of your marriage, possibly. It goes on and on and on. The parasha is God's word, unchanging, moving from year to year to year. Mine is the first six chapters of Shemot, Exodus, the birth of Moses, and on and on and on. I have a son who's got the same parasha as me. We've talked about this. I believe he wants to speak to you in that manner. As you know, the Haftarah did not happen in the desert in those 40 years. It did not happen in the same manner because the Torah was given, the law was given, and they were reading it systematically. But the Haftarah was put together by men, by man. And it was put together in exile. And it was put together because they had to remember the judgment that got them in exile. And Yeshua put his stamp of approval on it. Check it out. Luke 4. He starts talking. He's handed the Haftarah portion in his hometown of Nazareth. And they ask him to come up and read. I guess I'm pretty loud up here. Point I'm trying to make is he was reading it, right? Just like God didn't stamp as a feast, you know, Hanukkah. But what he did, but Yeshua was there, right? He put a stamp of approval on that because that was a genuine miracle of God, right? That happened, a genuine deliverance, and he connected to it. No doubt, you know, Purim and other things too, but the feasts are of the Lord, right?
Yes.
But I'm telling you that he was reading systematically, just like everybody else was. Check it out. Check out your Hebrew birthday. Look it up. Google it. You can find it. You know, there's a lot of areas you can go to, but just put in your Jewish birthday and lots of stuff will come up and you can find out, you know what your date of birth was. You might not know exactly when you were born, what time. Your birth certificate should show that, but you'll need to know that, and only if you're born on a Saturday, okay? Because it, as you know, the readings shift, right? So you got to know what time. If it's after sundown, you're shifted to the next week, right? But check it out. Find out what was happening when you were born. It's a powerful exercise to go through. I talked a little bit to Joe about this, you know, and it's been a powerful thing that we don't always understand, but it's worth looking at it. You know, it's in the Lord will show you. Just ask him, you know. Go ahead, Carol, go ahead and move it to slide 2. Yes. God's pattern of unveiling destiny in our lives. You know, the mind of a man plans his way, and the Lord directs his steps.
Amen.
Proverbs 16:9. Think about that for a second. God wants us to plan, wants us to look at our ways, plan our ways, and then submit it to him. How many times have you done that in your life? You submit it to him. I can do this. I'm making a plan here. I take it right, left, up, or down, or whatever you'd like. But here it is. The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. It's the same thing. It's the word going forward. That plays a critical role in your life, on your journey, on your destiny. The Torah, of course, has five books. The book of the beginnings, Genesis. The book of redemption, right? The book of holiness, Leviticus. The book of wanderings, Numbers. And the book of reiteration and reviewing, Deuteronomy. And of course, we know 28, the blessings of obedience in the and the curses of disobedience. It's all part of understanding where you are in the journey. Where are we going? We're going to be with him forever. We've given in the Torah, the Nevi'im, the Ketuvim, we're given much information in those writings that help us along that road. We also come to a place, and we don't have time to go through all the prophets, but it's all part of what happens on the journey. But the last words of God to each of you, to all of us, in the book of Malachi. And then it goes into a departure for 400 years. Those last words, remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I have commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children of their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. These are the last words to us before he goes silent for 400 years. This is where the departure happens. Mashiach comes on the scene after the 400 years. Our people that know him see that if you don't know the Messiah, then you go down this other road. We see the preaching of Yochanan the Immerser, John the Baptist. He preaches the kingdom, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He's preaching repentance. We see that happening right after the silence happens, and then the Messiah comes, the suffering Messiah. Yeshua comes. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Remember what Yeshua said, for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, it's John, it's Yochanan, in the spirit and power of Elijah. I want to say this, that everything that we lost in the garden when sin entered into the world, he will redeem every single step of the way. He will bring it full circle back to the New Jerusalem. And by the way, the tree of life is there. By the way, The rivers are flowing with it. The fruit is flowing when we get there. And we're gonna and we realize that if anyone that goes to be with the Lord is going to step through one of the 12 gates of the New Jerusalem, the 12 tribes of Israel, their Hebrew names written, and you go through one of those 12 gates to get into the New Jerusalem. And guess what's at the foundation of each of those 12 gates? The foundation are the apostles. And their Jewish names are written on the foundation as you're walking in. So you've got the foundation of the 12 apostles, and you've got the gates of the 12 tribes, and you walk in, and the pearly gate swings open, and you walk in, and there's the tree of life. And you don't need night, and you don't need day, because it's illuminated. It's the light of God himself, Yeshua. This is where we're going. Eternity is in the heart of man. He has made everything in its appropriate time. He has also set eternity, Ecclesiastes 3:11, in their hearts. Yet, so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning, even to the end. Eternity is in everyone's heart. It's put there by God. I'm talking about whether you believe or you don't believe, eternity is there. And when that gets tapped, because everybody knows they got to die one day, and they don't want to deal with it, right? So that's why it says in Ecclesiastes that it's better to be in the house of mourning than in the house of feasting at a funeral. Because the people that are there have to deal with eternity being in their heart. That's why it's more important. They deal with eternity. God is restoring everything. Just like he is redeeming you, he redeemed you and he is sanctifying you on that journey so that we will one day be with him in that celestial city, the New Jerusalem, with all the gates and all the foundations there. He wants complete restoration, including the Feast of Tabernacles, that the nations will have to accept. Why? He's tabernacling with his people. I mean, you want to come here, you're going to tabernacle with us or get the curses if you don't. Right? I mean, we could go on and on. I'm just saying that on this journey that you're on, you will get back to the garden. And I want to finish with that. He then showed me a river of the water of life, Revelation 22. Clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the middle of its street. On the other side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. Man, I want his name on my forehead. And there will be no longer any night. They will not have need of light of a lamp, nor light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them. He will illumine them. I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man and woman according to what he has done. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Behold, are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life. We're back to the tree of life. We're back to the garden where sin entered this world and the enemy thought he got it done. That he thought he thwarted the plan of God. But he's made that plan, that destiny for each one of you and myself alike. He brings us all the way back. What a glorious entrance into the New Jerusalem. What a glorious entrance to see the tree of life again, doing what it's supposed to do. We're doing what we're supposed to do in serving the Lord. He says this, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Yeshua, have sent my angel to testify to these things for all of the congregations. I am the root, the descendant of David, the root, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty say, come, let the one who wishes to take water of without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to them the plagues that are in the book. In other words, we don't add nothing to the word of God. Your destiny is linked or locked to the word of God, both Jew and Christian alike. Parasha, defining the word, if you don't read the word, which is the lamp unto your path, unto your feet and your path, then we know that we're heading to disaster. That's why it says, read the word and let that dominate our lives, right? The Jewish people lost their way, but they will find it again. Then they will believe, Romans 11, as all mankind must believe. And by the way, there's over 300 prophecies that have been fulfilled. Be encouraged, brothers and sisters. Be encouraged because he wants it to count. He wants it to count for him. He wants it to count for eternity. He wants it to count in the here and now. Amen?
Amen.
All right, Don. This is for you and your family.
Aww.
I've written it for you.
Thank you,
okay,
very much.
I want to present that with you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming, Yochanan. You are a true blessing. And, am I on here?
Excuse me.
We definitely want to bless Yochanan for coming, and we'll take up an offering. It'll go towards his being here, and also just to bless him, and also it would also bless him if you want to buy some CDs. If there's been something that you've been missing, I know for me it's like, where is that song? Let's just get another CD and stop looking for it. And maybe there's some there that you've not gotten before. I think that I've got a inventory downstairs. I'm going to get some from him today.
Sure.
Anyway, for our ministry. So, but that's and all that I have. I think God has spoken here today. Where do we come from? Where are we going? What is our destiny in the Lord? And we have to hope in him. We have to desire his destiny. And then we have to leap off that cliff sometimes, walk on the water, get out of the boat, leave our country, and do what he's asking us to do. And realize that he's going to, you know, he's going to take care of the rest. Amen. So with that, Anthony, do you normally give the Aaronic benediction? So have I left anything out? Let's pass the offering plate or the basket. Pass it around. And then let's bless Yochanan. He is, as I said before, I don't know if I communicate. You know, it's how instrumental Yochanan and his family is in the destiny of our community. And really, you know, reaching into the creativity of God and presenting it to the world. You know, it's just immense. So I don't know what to say except that I think God has honored us greatly by him coming here. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, and with that, would you like to go? Would you like to join us for lunch? We're probably going to go out to eat. Okay, so we'll decide where to go. Anthony, if you'll come and bring the benediction, please. Yes. Galilee of the Nations is just simpler for us. Then I don't have to. Galilee of the Nations. And Anthony. Did I miss anything? Okay. I'm used to Joe being here, so.
Great teaching. Wonderful. And it's important to know your Jewish birthday. Mine's the 14th of Adar, so I'm cranking around here. And I know my verse. It's for I was born for such a time as this. So I know what I've known that for probably since I was born. Just didn't come to appear. So it was very good. That was wonderful teaching. We got quite a thing of the Bible there. It's a lot. And so y'all would stand, I'll give you the blessing. This is what God spoke to Moses, and he said, this is how you will bless my people. And you tell Aaron, this is how you do it. Ivakaradakai Danai Vaishmareka Yo Adonai Panabeleka Vikunika Isa Adonai Panabeleka Vayasimlaka Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. In the name of Yeshua, our coming Messiah and King of Kings. Shabbat shalom. Have a great day today. Thank you all.